Thank you, Emmanuel and Kaylin. So, as you guys know, Pastor Matt's going to be away for a while. And so I have the great pleasure of, doing 3 weeks preaching to you guys on Psalm 23. And I'm really excited about it. Before we start, I want everyone to close their eyes. We're not going to go into prayer yet, but I want you to think about one thing that you really want right now. Could be anything. Could be a new car, a new house, could be a new job or a new promotion, could be a new album from your favorite artist or a brand new phone, could be going on a mission trip or becoming more mature in Christ, could be a new ministry to do or just guidance to what to do with your life. Now open your eyes. What was the first thing that popped in your mind? Whatever it is, I know that they're good things. I know these things will bring us joy, and for some degree, these things are worthy of being pursued. For some of us, these are the things that we long for, and we really want them. But as good as these things are, do you ever wonder why they're never enough to satisfy us? Do you ever wonder why, even after we get them, we feel so empty? We long for more. And the reason is because as great as these things are, they're not enough. They can't make life satisfying consistently. It's like, okay, there's a next generation of phones coming in, and people hear about the new stuff that they added. You watch all the commercials that hype up all of these new things. And then eventually you get this new phone, and you're so ecstatic about all these new configurations, and you're just overjoyed. But then, what happens 3 months from now? Or when the next generation comes in? Do you think people still want that phone? The question again is, why didn't it last? And the answer is really, really simple. It's because new things, new experiences, new relationships, even new spiritual experiences, these things fall short. Because in the end, only one thing can really satisfy our souls. And that's God. And that's why this series is called The God Who Is There. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to highlight the presence of the Lord and the satisfaction that we get from it. God is the only thing that can truly satisfy our souls. And this is the one thing I want you to get out today. So if you have a Bible, if you use the pew, it's on 458, Psalm 23. I know some of you probably know it by heart. But I want to read the first verse. And it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." This is the theme. God is our shepherd, and we shouldn't want. We should be completely satisfied in Him. And so I hope by the end of this day, we will long for this relationship. That God's our shepherd, and we're the sheep. And that we will be completely satisfied under His care. All right, I might just close your eyes again, and we'll pray this time. Lord, I pray that you would speak to your flock today and help us understand this passage. Help us long to have this relationship with you, Lord, that you would be our shepherd and we will not want. God, there's a void in our lives that only you can satisfy, and I pray that you would open our eyes to see this. I pray that we would desire you above everything, that you would be our only one desire. And I pray that you would use your Spirit and work mightily in us today. In your name, amen. This is our first point today. We should be completely satisfied with our life because God is our shepherd. That's what verse 1 is about. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." This is the picture that David paints in our minds. He chose the word shepherd. Can you imagine David writing another psalm, thinking about what's another way I can describe the Lord? I could probably say that he's my rock, or he's my fortress, or he's my strength. And in his mind, he probably thinks, yeah, those are good things, and they're definitely accurate about God, but I feel like they fall short. They fall short because there must be a better word that encapsulates everything that God is. or a better word that does that. So I can imagine them thinking very, very hard, searching for a better word that does this. And then boom, and the light bulb goes up. And he thinks back to his old days when he was a shepherd boy. He probably thought that in the way that he shepherded his flock, his dad's flock, that's the way that God has been to him. God has been his shepherd. And in the same way that the shepherd takes care of everything the sheep needs, God has done the same thing. God has been his protector, his provider, and his leader. This is what, these are probably the things that like went through his mind. And I think that this really reflects on what Jesus talks about when he talked about the good shepherd. Someone who's willing to lay his life down for his sheep. See, the picture of a shepherd is completely different to what the world sees God as. The world sees God as someone who's cold, who's bitter, who's unloving, who doesn't care about their needs. In fact, you probably think that God is someone who restricts them from the good things in life. This is not the God that we sing about. This is not the God that David's talking about. We know that God doesn't need to be served, but in fact, he serves us, and he's our shepherd. And we shouldn't want anything else other than that. See, there are many passages that reflect this. In Luke 15, he says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing." See, shepherds care for their defenseless and helpless sheep. They have to guard them and protect them. And this is what God does. We wander off and he searches for us. And when he finds us, he rejoices over it. Or how about in Isaiah 40? He says, "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." And it's like God intimately knows his sheep. He cares for them intimately. And he gathers them and leads them. See, God knows his shepherd. He knows all of us. He knows us thoroughly. He knows our characteristics, our tendencies. He knows the little ones who are new in the faith, who need to be carried. He knows the crippled by sin that can't keep up. He knows the people who have been faithful to him for a very long time, the old sheep. He knows the people who always want to get ahead, who is just so passionate for him. He knows about the timid ones who are afraid to follow. And he knows the black sheep, who's the exception. He knows us all. He knows our strengths and weaknesses. And he loves and cares for us. And he provides everything we need. The Lord is our shepherd. And because of this, we shouldn't want. God wants to bind us up. God wants to care for us. He says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." And I think one of the best things about the shepherd is that he'll never leave his flock. I think of like Hebrews 13. He says, "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." See, a shepherd doesn't leave their sheep because he knows that without them, they'll be terrified. They'll be confused. And it's his presence that gives them peace and joy. And again, this is what we're aiming for today. The Lord is my shepherd. And because of this, I won't want anything else. See, we are like sheep because we're defenseless. We're helpless. We can't do anything for ourselves. We constantly stray away from God in our stubborn way. And even though we don't admit it, without God, we would be lost and disturbed. And the small times that we can come before God and enjoy his presence, those are the times where we find true peace. See, in Jeremiah, he says, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, turning them away on the mountains. From mountain to hill they have gone. They have forgotten their fold." In Jeremiah, he says, "The people of Israel are like a lost sheep that's been led astray. They're all over the place. And they're all scared. They're all lost. They're all confused. And in fact, all of his sheep has forgotten that God is their pasture." And in the same way, we have betrayed God. Because We have thought of other things to be our one desire other than Him. We've wanted peace and rest and satisfaction in everything else but God. It's like whenever you're tired, God is in the bottom of the list. And you would go through everything first, even though they can never truly satisfy you. And we betray God. But in fact, we don't need to feel sorry for ourselves, because God pursues us like the good shepherd does. And He promises that He would return and restore us to His pasture. See, the good shepherd pursues his sheep. Even if the sheep doesn't think about the shepherd still pursues them. We've all gone astray and we all betrayed God. But in fact, God still pursues us because God still loves us. The shepherd goes through great lengths to redeem us. There is no cost that He's not willing to pay. And it's because of this that we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Jesus Himself says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep." He promises those who long for life that He says, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." Those who are lost, those who are like the sheep that have gone astray in the mountains, those who are longing for safety, God calls them. God's calling you. If you hear His voice today and follow Him, you can be part of God's flock. And God can be your shepherd. And again, you will not want anything. This is what David wants to get across. This is the most important verse for today. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Because everything else is an example of this. Everything else is a derivative of this fact that God is our shepherd. Now, can you imagine life where the only thing you need is God? So how does our shepherd provide for us? How does He make us not want? Well, it starts with our physical needs. And this is our second point. We should be satisfied with God because He's provided for our physical needs. See, His provision starts with how He provides for us, how He provides for our physical needs first. And He does this through the pasture and the still waters. Let's read it together. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." This is how God takes care of His sheep. He makes sure that they're is an abundance of blessings around them. He makes sure that there is water and there's food for them, that they will not want anything else. See, God puts a lot of attention to our life. He cares about everything in our life. He cares when we stand up, when we sit down, what we think, what we do. And He wants to satisfy all of our needs. The imagery of a green pasture and the image of still waters. These are images that represent abundant blessings. See, God doesn't make you lie down in a dry field. He makes you lie down in an abundance of blessings. Think about your life. Think about all the blessings God has poured in your life. If you have a house, that's a blessing. If you have a bed to sleep on, that's a blessing. If you have food, that's a blessing. If you have electricity, that's a blessing. If you have a community around you, that's a blessing. And that's just the beginning of things. See, God's blessings are not fake. It's not second rated. It's the real thing. It's the highest quality of blessings. And we have to see God as someone who gives us what will most satisfy us. This is very important because we have to see that God is someone who can satisfy us. That even though jobs are important or that money is important, it's not those things that will make us not want. It's not those things that will completely satisfy us. It's God. See, this doesn't mean that we're all going to be millionaires or that our wildest fantasies will come true. This means that God is capable of making us lie down and capable of leading us to a rest. I want to take you to Matthew 6, and it says this amazing verse, "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But first, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." Did you notice what Jesus said we shouldn't do? It's don't be anxious. Exactly. And we can see this in the first two verses, especially in verse 2. "He makes me lie down in green pasture." Do you sense any anxiety there? "He leads me beside still waters." See, these paint an image of peace and tranquility. There's rest. The sheep's not worried about anything because their shepherd is there to provide. They trust that the shepherd knows what they need, and they trust that the shepherd will provide. And that's why this is the reason why David doesn't want anything. He trusts that the Lord knows what he needs, and that the Lord will lead him to rest. And this is what we should do. We shouldn't worry about what we'll eat, what we'll drink, what will happen in the future. For God knows these things. And God's already taken care of everything. We need to see that God is our shepherd. And we shouldn't want anything. In fact, He wants to point us to something even greater. He wants us to point to Him, to the kingdom of heaven. See, but first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. All of these things will be given to you in God's timing. See, while the places of green pastures and the places of still waters are very important, you know, that's not the thing that actually makes us satisfied. It's God's presence and His actions for us. See, let's read it again. "He makes me lie down." That's God's action to us. The reason why David chooses this imagery is because lying down comes from God. True rest comes from God. And it's only when we experience God's presence, God's care, God's love, God's protection, that we can lie down and rest. We can lay down our burdens and our weary lives to Him. Did you know that it's almost impossible to make sheep lie down? That's one of the things I learned while I was studying this. Apparently, it's only when they are free from fear, from friction, from pests and needs, that they'll lie down. And if we want to let God make us lie down, we have to just cast our cares to Him. To just lay down our fears, our stress, our anxieties and our needs. This means that our true rest doesn't come from pleasure, or it doesn't come from retirements or even books. These things can relieve us, but in the end, they fall short. And so I challenge you today, submit to God and let Him make you lie down in green pastures. See, the second thing God does is He leads us. Sometimes God makes us lie down, but sometimes He has to lead us. Sometimes before we can have peace, we have to follow God. We have to trust that God knows what He's doing. We have to trust that God is leading us to a place of rest. We have to trust in our shepherd. See, even if God makes us do something, even if He calls us to follow Him, it's not going to be burdensome. He's going to gently lead us. And if we fall down, He'll carry us. Because in the end, the shepherd wants his sheep to be satisfied. It brings the shepherd joy to see his flock satisfied. And this is what God wants. God wants to see us satisfied in Him. Because that's when God is most glorified, when we're satisfied in Him. So when we're tired, when we're full of anxiety, full of fear, and we want to be renewed, just come before God. Just recognize verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." See, while God provides for our physical needs This shouldn't be our ultimate desire. Again, I want to emphasize that God is the reason why we won't want anything. It's His presence that makes us not want. See, without him, we can have all the green pastures in the world, and we can have all the still waters, and we're still not going to be at peace. Because in the end, only God can give us peace and joy. Because at the end of the day, the green pasture is God. He's our ultimate need. And if we don't eat of Him, we will not be able to find true satisfaction. See, without Christ, we will be spiritually dead. We won't have any reason to live. He is the bread of life and the water of life. And if we partake of Him, we won't need anything. See, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you." This means that we have to come to Him. We have to be consumed by Christ. We have to have Him consume every part of us. And it's only then that we will find true peace. Only then can we lie down in green pasture and beside still waters. Do you realize that this is the key to defeating sin? This is the key to defeating sin. Because when we find our fullest satisfaction in Christ, we will be able to deny all the pleasures of this world. When we finally see Jesus' presence and our knowledge of Him as something that surpasses anything that we could build up, then we won't sin. See, at the heart of all sin's issues is desire. What we desire will prompt us to move. And if God is not our highest desire, we will sin. We'll put something else on top of Him. See, let's take porn as an example. So many people have the tendency to see porn as their highest joy. And you know what? When we make porn our highest desire? We have this mentality that it's only a matter of time before I fall, kind of mentality. See, for a person who makes porn as their highest desire, they're like a person who is in a desert. It's hot, it's weary, and they're thirsty. And off the side, they see an oasis. It has shade. It has palm trees. It has cold, cold water. They look at it and they say, "I'm not allowed to go there because it's wrong to drink from the oasis. And I have to keep moving on." The problem with this is that it's only a matter of time before they collapse. The sun's going to beat down on them, and it's only a matter of time before they go to the cold, cold water of the oasis. This is the problem, is that many people feel like porn is the source of their escape. This is the place where they will find sweet refreshment from their boring lives, their exhausting lives, their disappointing lives. Well, it's not a mystery why they fall again and again and again. It's the place where they find their highest joy. It's the place where they go when they're thirsty. It's the place they go to find rest. Do you see? This is the heart of the issue. God needs to be our highest joy if we want to defeat sins like this. If we want to overcome sin. Because what we desire will prompt us to do things. See, here's the better analogy. Pornography is like deadly poison with sugar around its rims. And if we keep drinking from it, we'll literally die. See, life is a path that you walk with the Lord, who is leading you to still waters where you can drink and you can quench your thirst. See, God wants to lead us to true oasis. It's not porn, it's God. See, when you make the assumption that you will fall again, you're actually believing that porn is the highest desire in your life. And our freedom can only come when we see that porn is a poison. And that our highest joy should be in God. Our hope begins when we see that God's water is more desirable than porn's water. See, it's not enough to put filters or to have accountability partners. These things are good things. But in the end, you need to have your hearts changed. You need to see God as your highest joy. And when God's your shepherd, you will not want anything else. So how do we do this? How do we make God our highest joy? The answer is spend time with God. Let's read it again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Do you notice what's happening here? There's only two people. There's only David and God. And that's the theme of this passage, is time alone with God. See, when we have time alone with God, this is the time where He will reveal Himself to you. Where God's presence can give you peace, give you rest. This is a time where we should fill our thoughts with God. Where we should pour out our souls to Him. Whatever it is, our loneliness, our sorrows, our pain, our struggles. And this is the place where God's presence is enough to renew us. This is the place where healing comes. Where we can be completely satisfied in Him. See, we have to take our time alone with God seriously. If you want God to be your highest joy, you need to experience His rest. And you can't do it in a busy place. You need to find time alone with God where He can be your shepherd and you could be the sheep. Where He'll lead you beside, well, He'll make you lie down in green pastures and lead you beside still waters. See, God doesn't stop there. He keeps going. He not only provides for our physical needs, He also provides for our spiritual needs. And this is our third point. We should be satisfied with God because He provides for our spiritual needs. Let's read verse 3. He restores my soul, and He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. See, God wants to show Himself as someone who is capable of satisfying a person completely. This means His physical side, and it means His spiritual side. See, the soul is the spiritual aspect of a person where all of his emotions and his eternal part is ingrained. And God wants to satisfy that part also. See, sometimes sheep fall to the ground. Sometimes they have too much wool or too much weight. Or sometimes they just roll over. And you know what happens when sheep roll over? They become cast down. That's what they're called. And cast down sheep are really, really helpless. They're incapable of getting back on their feet. They're incapable of rolling back. And what happens is they're lying there. And sometimes they'll call out for help. But most of the time they're just there. Lying down. Frightened. Frustrated. It's a really dangerous spot for sheep to be in. Because they're so vulnerable to a lot of things that can kill them, like predators. And you know, sometimes in our spiritual journey, things will cause us to be on our backs. Things could push us around, and we will be in a position where we're cast down. You know, this could be times where our sins or our situations have completely wrecked us. And this verse, He restores my soul, is God's promise. That whenever His sheep will fall down, God will come there and restore us. God will come there and restore us when we're in spiritual poverty or we're helpless. God will restore us and strengthen us. He will follow us and restore us when we're tempted and we fall again and again and again. He'll pursue us when we veer off the path. See, like cast down sheep, we can wallow in our sin and our frustrations, but God is there, and He promises, like in verse 3, He restores my soul. He gives us a new heart and right spirit, one that desires God again, and He does it through Jesus. And then once we're back on our feet, He leads us in the path of righteousness. That's what the next part is about. God has restored me. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He leads us to a path where we can follow Him again, where we can obey Him. Where we can live in everything that is pure and holy. See, God's plan for us is to lead us home, to lead us to our true country, which is in heaven. But right now, we're on the path of righteousness, where God is sanctifying us to become more like Him. And He calls us to walk by His Spirit every day and to submit to His Father's will. See, there is a right way to live. And that's what God wants us to do. That's what God leads us to do. See, it's not going to be instantaneous. Our maturity in Christ doesn't happen quickly. And many times, we're going to just wander away again and become cast down time and time again. But our God is patient and loving and faithful, and He'll pursue us again and again. And He'll restore us, and He'll lead us in the path of righteousness. I love Proverbs 12:28. It says, "In the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death." I think that's just so sweet. Righteousness, what God is leading us to, this is essential in this life and the life to come. God wants to lead us for something that will matter in this life and the next. And you know, at the end of the road, that's where our true rest is going to be. At the end of the road is heaven. This is where God is leading us to, our true country, where rest and peace and joy last for eternity. And even though the road right now is tough and it's rough and plenty of times we'll fall, God is faithful and just, and He'll pursue us again and again until we reach our home. See, the reason God does all of this is because God is love. God is love. And we don't deserve to have Him, as our shepherd. We don't deserve Him to satisfy our physical and spiritual needs. In fact, we have betrayed God, made everything else our shepherd, our security and peace. But God is faithful and just, and He'll do all of these things for His name's sake. Not because of us, but because God is love. I love what John wrote in 1 John 2, verse 12. He says, "I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake." John is telling his church that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. And God will bless us for His name's sake, not because of our own sake. Our salvation wasn't done because we deserve it. No, it's because God wanted to show His amazing love. He wanted to show how great it is. See, when you look at the cross, some people have the tendency to think that this is what the cross is about. God is so angry that someone had to pay. But that's not what led Christ to the cross. It wasn't anger. It was love. God loved us so much that He gave His only Son. And Christ laid down His life freely for all of us. And now those who believe in their hearts and confess with their mouths that Jesus is Lord, He'll ingrain them. He'll accept them as part of His sheep. See, those who come to Him will experience, verse 1, that God is our shepherd and we won't want anything else. So I hope that today that you will see that. That God is our shepherd. And because of this, we won't want anything else. Let's pray. God, You are our shepherd. And we thank You, Lord, that we won't want because of this. Thank You for all the things that You work in our lives, God. And I pray that You would help us see that You are worthy to be desired. You are worthy to be loved. And I pray that You would continue to draw us near You. Thank You for Your grace, God. In Your name, amen.